Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mazur with you on your Monday morning, October 15, 2018. A massive sporting weekend, plenty going on both here and internationally as well, but a lot of focus on a few of the sports that have just started their season but don't get a lot of focus when the footy's on, to the NBL, where the Breakers upset Melbourne United yesterday.
Barlow nearly the strip. Moore feeds it back out. This is massive. And it doesn't get any bigger than that for Rashard.
We'll hear from Coach Dean Vickerman very shortly. Now to the world of golf. Some good results for Aussies yesterday. Overnight, Lucas Herbert almost pinching victory over at the British Masters. Meanwhile, Mark Leishman winning on the PGA Tour in Malaysia yesterday.
What a performance. Mark Leishman wins the CIMB Classic, and he wins it easily. Final round, 65.
He was sensational. We'll run you through the full list of the Aussies on both golf tours in just a second. Plenty to get through on a very busy edition of The Breakfast Bite.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
We're going to be pretty busy as well on the Breakfast Club after 6 o'clock this morning. Half is back from holidays. He'll join Jimmy Bartel and Whitey. After 6, Lucas Herbert, who, as I mentioned, finished tied for third in the British Masters. He's having an unbelievable few weeks on the European Tour. Another top three overnight. We'll chat to him. We'll try and get you an early mail winner before 7 o'clock this morning. Adam Peacock from Fox Sports on Usain Bolt, who scored a couple of goals on Friday night. Cameron Joyce from North Melbourne to see what's left for them in the trade period. Of course, just 2 days to go, all finishing on Wednesday night. Adrian Fletcher, this is a great story. He's been named as the coach of the Tasmanian Devils TAC Cup team. So he'll join us about that pathway being created for footy players in Tassie. And Aaron Pike, who won the Victorian PGA yesterday, will join us from 8 this morning. We'll try and head to the States as well. A couple of interesting stories out of there too. More on that later on in the morning. At 5:35 though, we'll start, as you heard off the top, with a bit of a disappointing afternoon for Melbourne United yesterday. The Breakers winning in the end. United coming back off that quadruple overtime in their first match of the season, but not able to get the job done at home. Dean Vickerman here, who was pretty happy with how they came out of the blocks.
I love the way we came out, and you know, it was a great first quarter. Probably could have been a couple more up, even we fouled a little bit late. But I thought obviously we wanted to, you know, Corey was pretty good the other night. We did everything we could to restrict him, and that left a couple of other people with some opportunities. And I thought Wesley really took advantage of that, you know, in the second quarter. And we weren't able to, you know, contain him during that quarter, which we just got them the lead. But, generally, there were some really good things for us tonight. And then there were some things that right now are starting to be a trend. To give up 22 offensive rebounds again, a lot of tips and a lot of, chances for us to go get those. And we're just not doing it right now. So, you know, we've got to firstly address that issue, because it's hard to win a basketball game when the other team's shooting 20 more shots than you. So, address that one. Obviously, we talked about it from the other night as well. So, you know, it's a glaring issue for us right now. And, down an import, and, you know, Casper and Josh certainly didn't have their best game tonight. And certainly, you got to say, they were probably the most affected from the four overtime game.
88-81, the final score there. Melbourne United suffering their first loss of the season. Unfortunately, it was at home. Let's hear from the New Zealand coach now, Kevin Braswell, after the win.
It's like I keep saying, is we're a team that basically, we've had five trainings, I think it was, as a group. so we've had no preseason games. So right now is almost our preseason. I think I keep saying that, and I'm just happy that we're playing games right now. We lost to Brisbane on Thursday, and it was a game where I kind of felt after the first half we got stagnant. It happened a little bit tonight as well. But one of the things that, you know, it's hard to back up a four-overtime game. You know, these guys were dead, and, you know, the energy that they showed in the first quarter, almost through the first half, even at the start of the third, I think, you know, I give credit, a lot of credit to them as well for fighting through and sticking with it. But they got tired, you know, and that was one of the things we wanted to do is just push the pace, and I thought we did a pretty good job of that for, you know, probably three quarters of.
And in the other game yesterday, it was an absolute thumping. 101, the Wildcats defeating the Illawarra Hawks 61, so a 40-point win. That is a shellacking. We'll hear from both coaches later on in the breakfast bite. Now to golf, where it has been a good 24 hours for the Aussies on both the European and PGA Tour. We'll start with our winner, first of all, Mark Leishman, 26 under the card he finished at in the CIMB Classic in Kuala Lumpur. Fantastic result for him. He wins and won easily too. A 5-shot victory. Grillo, Hadley and Burgoon, the next best at 21 under the card. 7-under in his final round. And it really was a dominant performance from Leish. Let's have a listen to what he had to say after victory.
Drove it. Caught pretty poorly in the first round actually and did a lot of work on that. Worked out what I was doing. And then drove it great. You know, well, good enough. So it was... It was good. Felt great over the irons. Putter was obviously very good. So, no, really happy with everything. It's nice to get another win.
Well, when you look forward, you've won all over the world. Where does this big picture, where does this take you? Where do you look forward to now as you go forward?
Well, I mean, you know, it had been over a year since I'd won. I'd had a few chances and hadn't capitalised. So, you know, playing Korea next week, the World Cup later in the year, so Australian PGA, so, you know, I want to try and win something else before the end of the year, but, you know, this is awesome, just be able to go back to Maui, and I know the kids will be very happy that I'm bringing home a trophy.
Yeah, Mark Leishman, he'll be back in Australia, as he mentioned, there for the World Cup a little later on in the year. A bit of news over the weekend too that Tiger Woods will make a fleeting visit to Royal Melbourne to scope out the course ahead of next year's President's Cup too. So him and Ernie to visit the course, and I'm sure they'll sneak a few holes in while they're out here early in December. Now to Eddie Pepperell. He was the winner last night on the European Tour. One of the good news stories for the Aussies, though, was Lucas Herbert, who only just scraped through to make the cut, but then absolutely stormed home to finish in a tie for third. This is how Eddie did it. Beautiful shot from the bunker. Had to get up and down for a two-shot victory, and that's exactly what he did.
To win by two. Eddie Pepperell is your 2018 Sky Sports British Masters champion. An incredible performance, led from the first day since the 11th hole where he made an eagle. Wire to wire for the Englishman, second win of the year, the biggest by far. A gutted out 72 in very difficult conditions here at Walton Heath Golf Club.
The story here, though, is Lucas Herbert, from an Aussie point of view, he finished in a tie for third at 5-under overall. He was still 4 shots off the pace, Eddie Pepperell, 9-under to finish the tournament. Bjork was in second on 7-under the card. Let's have a listen to Eddie after the win.
I don't really know. It's brilliant. You know, I said yesterday that I wasn't sure how it felt being in the lead of this event as opposed to another one, but now I've won it. It does feel special, and the crowds are great. Obviously, I had some great local support, and around a beautiful golf course, one I played a lot, obviously, as a junior and as an amateur. So to come and win this event here is really special.
Eddie Pepperell there after securing the win in the Sky Sports British Masters overnight. Now to the world of cricket, where the Aussies have turned their attention towards the second test. If you go to the Cricket Australia Twitter feed, interesting photo of the pitch. Weirdly, it looks like a bit of a green top at this stage. Still 40 hours away from that test match starting, but very interesting top. Have a look at it, Cricket Australia's Twitter feed. We might retweet that on the RSN account as well. Graham Hick spoke over the weekend here on the draw and also looking ahead to the second test.
I think, you know, everyone's read about it already, just amazing. Right up there, I think. I doubt there's been a better one, you know, in terms of the conditions, the length and of the second innings to be able to stick out that long out there was just an amazing effort by all the players. Yeah.
What was your role after 10 for 60 in the first innings and then seeing that? What did you have a word to the guys? Like what did you kind of do?
No, I mean we were a little bit flat, and I think it was because we'd worked so hard beforehand. I think even the staff and the players were a little bit down just because we knew we were better than that. There was a little bit of, there was a mixture of some good bowling and some poor decision making. So I think that was the main thing, is that everyone was just realised that we could do a lot better, and it certainly put us behind the eight ball in terms of the game situation, which was also another disappointing thing because we felt we could, you know, certainly. I suppose the first innings are so important, so you're not behind the game in the second innings. So that was another, you know, there's a lot of things that were sort of bad about it. But in terms of what it did, not a lot. I just knew, you know, quite often the boys know that they've didn't perform as well as they'd like. And quite often, you know, they're good enough to pick themselves up, and they have a lot of pride in the way they go about their business. So, you know, they don't want, you know, there's a certain element I think they didn't want to get out there and not put a good performance in the second innings. You know, whether we managed to hang on or not, I think we're always going to make sure that there was a better performance. It was maybe just reinforcing that, you know, they'd done a lot of good work, their preparation's been great, and trust their defence and still bat with intent.
Graeme Hick there, Australian batting coach. Hopefully a bit of an improved performance in the first innings in a couple of days' time when that second test begins against Pakistan. Other international cricket from overnight, the West Indies crumbling in their second innings. 311 they made in their first. India responded with 367, so it's a pretty slender first innings lead, but the Windies all out for 127. India chasing it down easily, none for 75 off just 16 overs. So they win that second test by 10 wickets over the West Indies. Let's stay with cricket just for the time being. Peter Neville here speaking on the weekend, hoping to bounce back in the Sheffield Shield after a poor JLT Cup for New South Wales.
Well, it's quite a different set of skills, obviously, so just adjusting. You know, we've probably had a bit longer than some other teams, having dropped out at the qualifying stage of the JLT Cup, so, you know, had quite a lot of time now to really focus on that Red Bull mentality. So looking for, you know, obviously those skills to come to the fore in Adelaide.
Few more updates from the live sport from yesterday. The Diamonds going down in their Constellation Cup clash against New Zealand. This was the first game of the series over in New Zealand. Caitlin Bassett here after the loss.
I think just momentum. They started out the blocks really quickly. They obviously had the home crowd behind them, and we struggled from the get-go. So they did a really good job defensively, which we struggled to find space in our attacking end.
How does that mindset change? You know, Australia, you're so used to leading from the front, but all of a sudden you're having to chase. Does that put extra pressure on the side?
Yes and no. I think we need to be comfortable being uncomfortable at times. It's happened to us in the past and we've managed to get out of it, but today just wasn't our day. I think a lot of things fell their way. We'll go back and have a look at a lot of vision, but I think we just need to tighten up a few things in our attack again and probably contest a bit more defensively.
Defensively, a lot of penalties against your side. Do you think that hurt you perhaps?
Yeah, definitely. I think obviously both shooters for the Ferns were on song today and they were putting up some really nice long bombs, so we need to work out a way to get in their head a bit more on the shot, I think.
To tennis now, and it was the Shanghai Masters final yesterday. Novak Djokovic making it yet again and delivering another win. He beat Borna Koric in straight sets, 6-3, 6-4. So Koric, who earlier had knocked out Matty Ebden, unfortunately not able to get the job done in the final, but well done to Novak Djokovic. To think that this time last year, really his future was fairly cloudy, and he's turned his form around incredibly in 2018 with another win.
Koric is a challenge ball on the left baseline, ball was pulled out.
Novak Djokovic is the Rolex Shanghai Masters champion for a fourth time.
6-3, 6-4.
Always an anticlimax in tennis there when it does finish on a review, but Djokovic winning in straight sets. He spoke after the win with the number one ranking now on the radar for Novak before the end of the year.
I don't want to have, you know, to make Borna look bad, so I'm just going to say, xie xie ni men da zhe che wo ai ni men cheng kuo. That's all. And I want to thank you guys for making this event very special. You know, this is definitely one of the most successful 1,000 events on the world, and I have been playing really well throughout my career in China in general, especially in Shanghai. Back in 2008, I won my first Masters Cup, and that obviously opened a lot of doors for me and made me the player that I am today. So this is definitely a special place for me.
12-6 on RSN 927 on your Monday morning. On the other side of this, on the breakfast bite, we're going to get all the build-up for the Socceroos game tomorrow. Some more reaction from the NBL yesterday with Melbourne United's loss at home and a thumping by the Wildcats over in the West. A little bit of rugby news too, and we'll hear from Will Setterfield after he moved to the Blues in trade period. Plenty to come on the show at 12-6.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Welcome back to the show on your Monday morning. After 6 o'clock this morning, plenty to come on the Breakfast Club with Huff, Whitey and Jimmy. We'll chat to Cameron Joyce from North Melbourne, Adam Peacock from Fox Sports, Lucas Herbert to join us nice and early too, the Early Mail, Adrian Fletcher and Aaron Pike, Victorian PGA winner yesterday as well. So a lot to get through after 6 o'clock this morning. Let's head to the soccer world now, and good to see the Socceroos will be back in action very early tomorrow morning. If you can stay up for this one, good luck to you. We'll hear from a couple of the Socceroos. First of all, Coach Graham Arnold here on being in charge for the first time since he's taken the reins again. It's 8 months since he was announced as Socceroos coach, and finally he'll get to coach a game.
Yeah, look, I can't wait. I'm so excited, and I've spent probably the last 5 months having meeting after meeting, and it seems like for no reason. But, you know, it's been a lot of work, but I'm really excited to for the game on Monday night, Tuesday morning, Australia time, and yeah, look, as I've said, I thought what Bert did was fantastic, and we've kept that block, that defensive block, and we've just added layers on top. I focused and concentrated more on in the camp in Turkey of rotations and our attacking play. We've just continued the same. We'll touch on the defence again this afternoon and tomorrow, but so far the excitement, I'm getting goosebumps now because the boys have been fantastic at training. The way they take in the information, as I said to them the other day, I'm their third coach in just over a year, and the information that they're taking is critical.
Let's head now to one of the other discussions within Australian soccer at the moment, and that is the future of Usain Bolt. Scoring twice on Friday night for the Central Coast Mariners, one was an easy tap-in, but he did take his first strike pretty well to slide it past the keeper. Not sure that would have happened in the A-League, but at that lower level, showing that he does have a little bit of ability. Last night, an interesting discussion on Fox Sports between Mark Bosnich and a few of his other panel members on his show as to whether he should get a contract with the Central Coast Mariners.
Bottom line is, when you're a striker and you score goals, that is your job. And he scored two goals, regardless of the fact of who he was playing against. He was playing against a mixture of National Premier League players who are part-time players and have finished their season, in some cases, by 5 weeks. But the bottom line is, all you can do is play what's in front of you. And we've said this before about a whole lot of things. He still has got a lot of work to do. He knows that. And so far as I'm concerned, and I've said this countless times, look, the fact that he's put his mind to becoming the fastest human being of all time leads me to think that he can put his mind to becoming a professional footballer, whether it be in the A-League or not. That's down to Central Coast. If Central Coast are willing to go on with this project, that's their prerogative. Mike Charlesworth, their chairman, when he first came into the club, he put his money where his mouth is. He paid a lot of their bills. He basically saved them at the time when he came in. If he's willing to continue to stump up the cash, I've got no problem with it whatsoever. When I spoke to him after his original game, which was about a month and a half ago, he said it would take him 4 to 5 months. Well, it's only been, say, 2 months. So, but that's completely up to them. But if you're talking about, I saw somebody mention today that apparently, and this is, like I said to you, this has not been confirmed, that they're going to ask the FFA for money from a marquee fund. I'm sorry, but no. Marquee funds are for marquee players. And when I say marquee players, you're talking about the likes, just to give people an idea of Del Piero. Mm. Take a step back from that. Foreign players. Now, we're allowed to have 5 foreign spots for each team. Now, the foreign players, in my opinion, the visas, wherever you are around the country, wherever you are around the world, in whatever sport, are for players that are better than what you've got in that actual particular country. Right now, that isn't true of Usain Bolt. So Marquee's even further on than that. But if Central Coast and Mike Charlesworth want to continue with this, I've got no problem with it whatsoever.
Mark Bosnich there on the future of Usain Bolt. We'll talk to Adam Peacock about that on the Breakfast Club after 7 o'clock this morning, but it was a positive step in the right direction on Friday night. We'll keep you up to date with the Socceroos too. Plenty of news coming out of Kuwait ahead of what will be a very interesting game tomorrow to see their new style under new coach Graham Arnold. Now to a little bit of footy news. Will Setterfield spoke on the weekend about his move to the Blues from GWS.
Very excited to be a Blue. It was a long week, but I'm glad it's done, and I'm just excited to get started and meet all the boys and get into it. What attracted me to Carlton was being a Big Four club, you know, playing on the MCG as their home ground. Obviously quite a young list, so, it suits me, and an exciting future ahead. That was, one of the big things for me, getting based back here. A lot of my family in Melbourne at the moment. I've got my girlfriend down here, and a lot of family friends, so it's very exciting for me. So I guess, I'm hoping to bring another tall midfielder to the group and learning from the likes of Murph and Cooper and learning all I can off them. So obviously very excited Andrew Russell's going to be a part of the, high-performance team. After looking at what he's done with O'Meara and Burgoyne, it's going to be, helpful for me with my knee and the injuries I've had. So, really looking forward to working with him. Yeah, so all the rehab's going well. Coming out the better end of it now, light at the end of the tunnel. So, I'm about 7 to 8 months in. Almost done and it's going well. Looking at the list, it's quite a young list at this stage. And I'm only 2 years into my career. So, it's obviously good to be a part of the group and be a part of the future. And, looking forward to getting to know all the boys and building something with them.
Will Setterfield, new Blue, speaking there yesterday. Now to the NBL, as we mentioned off the top, an unfortunate loss for Melbourne United. Yes, they 1-1 in the opening weekend for them. Dean Vickerman was pretty happy with the start, but unfortunately they couldn't go on with it as the Breakers ran over the top 81-88. Let's have a listen to Mitch McCarron now on backing up after that quadruple overtime. What was it like as a player?
Oh, I don't think it was difficult. It's our first home game, the banner reveal. I think everyone was excited and we knew we would have to make a pretty concerted effort knowing how long the game was the other night and, you've got to produce your own energy. I mean, we talked about that last game that, whether you're on the road or at home, if your group's producing the energy, then you're going to be off to a good start. So we had a good one, we just weren't able to continue it.
So, fingers crossed, Melbourne United can bounce back. They take on the 36ers a little later on this week. So, good luck to them. Now to the other game yesterday in the NBL, 101-61. An absolute thumping, the Wildcats over Illawarra last night. Rob Beveridge here from the Hawks on what's been a tough start to the season.
What I know is that these guys are some of the highest character people that I've coached. We've been away. We've brought 8 new players in. So, we're trying to work out who we are at this stage. And, we've got an enormous amount of growth with our group. And, what I know is that despite getting our asses handed, that we've got a lot of high-character people and we're going to stick together. There's no question about that. And we're not going to point the finger at anybody in the team or the coaching staff or any of the excuses. We're going to remain tight as a group.
That's just about it for your Monday morning on The Breakfast Bite. Hopefully you're up to date with all of the latest sporting news from Australia and the world from overnight. Lucas Herbert, speaking of overnight, tied for third over at the British Masters. A brilliant last 3 weeks for him. He'll chat to us after 6:30 on The Breakfast Club this morning. Adam Peacock from Fox Sports on Usain Bolt. Cameron Joyce from North Melbourne on the trade period. Adrian Fletcher, who's been appointed coach of the Tassie Devils TSC Cup team. And Aaron Pike, winner of the Victorian PGA, all to join us on what is going to be a very busy Monday morning on The Breakfast Club. Half Whitey and Jimmy are warming up. They're on their way.
That was RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.